Hello and welcome to this very special episode of Reddit Ramblings. These are stories from three different subreddits, r/IDon'tWorkHereLady, r/TalesFromTechSupport, and r/Let'sNotMeet. If you are listening on Anchor, then you can skip to another subreddit if you scroll down. Now let's get the ball rolling. Here is r/IDon'tWorkHereLady. This subreddit is stories about entitled Karens thinking that someone works at an establishment and get all mad when they hear they are wrong. This story is called, "Yeah, I work there. Not here." This happened back around 2004, so obviously the conversations won't be exact. Maybe not exactly the right subreddit, as there's a bit of entitled parents in here too, but I never saw or dealt with the entitled parent. My interaction with kiddo was only in the realm of r/IDon'tWorkHereLady. This one gets kinda long, sorry about that. Bit of background, the library I worked at had regular story times for kids, split into different age groups. A story, maybe an activity, and some kind of snack, maybe juice boxes, for after. Parents would usually hang out at the back of the room by the snacks during the story. But some would go into the main library to look for things while the kids did their thing. I helped out once in a while. One of the kids, I'm calling him Kiddo, would come in. He looked to be on the older end of the pre-K, 4 to 5 year olds, group. Instead of sitting down for the story, he would head straight for the snacks. Sometimes, the mama bears would send him off to the story, sometimes he'd just wander off after being told he couldn't have snacks until after the story. But he developed a strange habit. Almost like an error reset mode. If the mama bears told him no snacks, he'd do the full Scooby head tilt and WTF look, then plop his little butt down where he was and scream mommy. In the high-pitched tone that makes dogs run away in pain. After a minute or two, he was back to normal, but mommy never showed. We just figured she was out in the main library and couldn't hear him. So, on to the story. One day, the library is closed for whatever holiday, and I head to the local grocery store because weekday equals less crowds. Just as I'm turning down the cereal aisle and looking forward to getting a new box of Cap'n Crunch, don't judge, I see him. Kiddo. One of his grubby little paws was buried in an open box of one of those super sweet cereals that only kids can tolerate. I don't see mommy around anywhere, so something like the following happens. Me. Hey kiddo, you know you're not supposed to do that at the grocery store. Right? Kiddo looks up, sees me, pulls his sticky, cereal-covered hand out of the box and gestures in my direction. I know you. You work at the library. That means you gotta be nice to me. Comma and proceeds to stuff another fistful of cereal in his mouth. I look back at him. Me, well, yeah, I work at the library. And, when you're there, as long as you follow the rules and don't make trouble, I try to be nice to you. But, we're not at the library, are we? As soon as I see the head tilt, I know what's coming. I move on, thinking to myself, please dear God, let me get my Cap'n Crunch and get out of here. But nope. Not fast enough. Just as I'm grabbing that red box of crunchy goodness, I hear it. Blop mommy. Much to my surprise, no mommy. Kid yells for mommy again, but still. Nothing. By this time, he's attracted the attention of a store employee going by. SE tells me I'm going to have to pay for the box of cereal that my kid is stuffing in his face. Took me a second, but I realize she thinks kiddo is my kid. Much to my surprise, I'm actually able to explain that kiddo is not my kid, I have no clue who, where mommy is, and that I've seen him do this at the library, too. Essie and I get the same idea about the same time. You think maybe he? Wouldn't surprise me, mommy never shows at the library either. Essie manages to get kiddo to go off with her, still clutching the box of cereal, and that's the last time I ever saw kiddo. About a week later, I go back in the store, and see the same Essie near the customer service desk. She tells me that they looked at their security footage, and it seems like someone, camera didn't get a clear shot, had dropped kiddo at the store and taken off. He'd been there for over an hour before I ran into him. Store called police, police tracked down mommy, etc. comma etc. Her excuse was that she had to work and the library was closed, so where else was she supposed to leave him? And there's lots of food at the grocery store, so it's not like he was gonna starve. I dunno whatever happened to kiddo. I just hope he ended up in a better situation. Welcome to r/Tales from Tech Support. These are stories from people who work at IT. Did you try turning it on and off? Boss, the boss. Newly promoted and eager to show off what he can do, me of course. New hire, a new hire that wants to meet HR to start the initial hiring interviewing process. English is not my first language, blah blah blah, not on mobile. Now to the story. 4 months ago, boss, it is important that you all read this booklet and we will be holding another important meeting with a PowerPoint presentation. Internally am I already groaning and wonder if I can hang myself with the Cat5 cable running from under my desk without disturbing my colleague's internet. Silly me. Of course I can. It will still transmit at least 95%. Boss, this presentation is mandatory and will take around 2 hours where you do not have to take calls. We will do it in groups of 5. Afterwards you will be mailed said presentation. Read it every day. It's important. Great, that means even more work for the others while we are getting this stupid presentation drilled into our heads. It's not as if aren't already lacking people to actually take the calls. My boss keeps on droning and talking, but I have already written down the most important part. I have to be there and we get it in copy, so I can read it on my own later and only have to pretend to pay attention to yet another boring PowerPoint presentation. Cue the day of the presentation. Always log out your user when you are not at your workplace. Lock your PC with Windows plus L. When you leave your place, do not leave important documents laying around near your desk. If you absolutely have to take confidential notes, shred them in the shredder in the break room, which still has to be installed but will be there soon, at the end of the day, and do not throw them into the trash. Lock the lockers that are standing under your desk when your shift ends. Do not leave your phone unattended and unlocked. Wear your badge visible so you can be identified as a trusted employee of us. Visitors need to be escorted by at least one person on the floor and they always have to be at their side. Visitors receive special badges to announce their status as a visitor with name and corporation they belong to. Can you fit this into 2 hours? No. It was 2.5 because he kept talking on about how important this was and important the oncoming certificate was. For me, all these things seem just perfectly normal, but that is just me. 3 months ago, boss, now, we will get a visit by the people responsible for the certificate, so I thought it would be a good idea to refresh. Oh no 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 no. Please do not say it, boss, the security guidelines. It is very important that we do so, because if we do not show our game here, the $200,000 we paid to get the certificate review will be wasted. Is this heck? Did I die and is this my punishment? And if not, can I at least have this counted as some sort of penance when I end down there? Boss, but since we have a high call volume we will have to do this at a later time, so, around 3 p.m. when there will be less calls. I raise my hand, boss. Boss, yes. Me, do we get overtime for that? Boss, why? Me, my shift ends at 2:30, and if judging by the last presentation we had, it took you around 2.5 hours for it to finish. Hence, do I get overtime? Boss, well, it won't take that long. Me, but I still won't get paid? Boss, it's a security presentation for the company. Well, send me the presentation again. I got a doctor's appointment anywho, so I can't take part in it. Silently I add, even if I wanted to, which I do not. Boss is silent for a few minutes and then speaks up, can you not reschedule it? Me, I am sorry, this is not reschedulable. I had this appointment planned for more than 6 months and put it so that it is outside of my working hours. This is as far as I can accommodate you, boss. But I cannot reschedule it. Boss, are you sure? Me, boss. I am sure. I need to get this scar checked ever so often or it might close up in a way that will cause it to go septic. No one wants that. That makes him quiet down and just accept that I cannot attend another presentation. The next day I ask how long it took. 3 hours. I am left wondering, how? 2 months ago, boss, I am proud to say that the people were very happy with us and that we have the official certificate. Congratulations everyone. We are now an official certified facility for IT. This will allow us to take on many more lucrative contracts, as only a few other companies have such a certificate. Everyone, hooray! Boss, but it is important to remember that we also practice what we preach because we could lose the certification. And then all the money and all the work would be down the drain. And since our contracts are hinging on them, we really can't afford to do so. Last week, me, yes, I got your authentication, ma'am. And with that I have set your password to XYZ123. You will be asked to change it once you log in. Your password needs to contain 3 of the 4 following bits: capital letters, lowercase letters, numbers, and special operators such as an exclamation mark. Customer, so a password like Mike2020 would be acceptable? Me, not this one, because you just told it to me and it's no longer secure, but something along those lines would work, yes. Just make it longer, 16 letters are the maximum, so think of some simple phrase and then add the required extra stuff. Works better, is more secure, and easier to remember. In the background I hear a knock from the door leading to the IT cubicles but pay it no further mind. Me, also please keep mind that you cannot, I repeat, cannot, use 2 letters in your name for your password. That is very important. Customer, thank you dear. Me, not an issue at all. I hear the door buzzer going off in the background after another knock on the door. Me, anything else I can help you with? Customer, no, this is plenty already, thank you so much. Me, just doing my job. She hangs up, I get my 2 minutes of respite after finishing a call and grab my bottle of water to sate my thirst. Unfortunately it's empty, so I have to lug my around my co-worker's empty chair, get out of the cubicle and office, and walk down the hallway to a small room that has been deemed as an employee area, where we store the water and can have our breaks and not sit in front of our computer screens. On my way back, a lady in an office attire crosses my path and looks all too curious, and dismayed, into the various offices and cubicles. With nothing better to do I approach her. Me, can I help you? New hire, yes actually. I am looking for HR. I point upwards. Me, 2 floors higher above us. You are in the IT apartment. New hire, oh. Thanks, sorry for the hassle. I just read the company name on the sign and. Me, I know. It doesn't say IT. Happens. I escort her back to the door, wait until the door is closed, and turn around and stare at the half-closed door straight opposite of the entry door where the lady just walked out of. With no badge, or ID, or anything else. Me, boss. I am having a hard time not yelling at the door in front of me, and in turn, at my boss. Boss, yes. Me, did you just open the door? Boss, yeah. Someone was knocking there and I let them in. Who is it? Me, new hire for the 7th floor. Presumably. Boss, then all is good. Me, boss. You can't just let people in like that. At least check who it is and welcome them. Boss, I was busy. I stare at the big sign hanging right next to the boss office, while we are still talking through the half-closed door. No cameras or mobile phones. Sensitive data alert, visitors need to be supervised. Always carry your ID visibly with you. Me, whatever you say, boss. This happened not just once. Not twice. Not thrice. I have lost track of how often it has happened. Another trip to get some more water early in the morning. I got my little break and am happily eating some bread I took with me from, because the cafeteria was closed, and head straight to the break room only to come to a grinding halt. Some guy is sitting there at the table, a router patched into the network and tapping away at his laptop patched to the router. He doesn't even look up at me when I enter. And worst, never in my life have I have seen this guy at this company. I grab my water and head out to my boss office down the hallway. Me, boss? Boss, yes. Me, who is that sitting in our break room? And why is he patched into the company network? Boss, oh, that is the company IT guy. He is from another remote office and is just here to check our network? Me, did we have any issues with it lately? Boss, it's just a customary check. I can feel my brain grinding to a halt. It hurts just to think about it. Me, whatever you say, boss. Again I look at the huge sign. No ID. Not supervised. Not even a mail that he'd be there. Nothing at all. Yep. We are a secure facility indeed. I take a deep sip of my water and wish I could turn it to wine. Maybe then things would be more manageable. This next story is from r/letsnotmeet. These are stories of creepy encounters with people. This story is called The Unknown Caller Who Was Watching Me From Outside My House. So this happened to me almost 7 years ago now. I should give some background info before getting into things. At the time this all happened, I was around 16 years old and I had a friend I'll call Karen, who was dating a boy named John. At this point in time, Karen and John has been dating for maybe 6 months, and after going out with Karen and John on many occasions, they decided that they wanted to hook me up with John's friend, we'll call him Cameron. At this point in time I had met Cameron in person once, he was nice so I gave him my social media, and we had chatted a couple of times. It's important to note he didn't have my number or know where I live. Now it's time for the story. Fast forward to one night maybe a week or two after I met Cameron, I'm laying in bed, it's about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I get a call from an unknown number. Thinking, why the crap is an unknown number calling me at this time of night, I decide to answer it and see who it is. So I answer the phone and say hi, and a man responds saying hi back. Since I didn't recognize the voice on the other end, I ask the person who they are. Instead of giving me an answer to this question, the man on the line tells me to look outside my window. Thinking this is probably a prank call, I tell the man to go away and hang up the phone. Once I did this, the number calls back again, didn't answer it. The person then proceeds to call me another 4 times until I finally answer the phone, which again I ask who the heck is calling. This time the person responds and tells me that one of my friends gave him my number, and that I'm the guy he's been talking to. At this point my stupid 16-year-old mind is trying to rationalize this, and the only person I can think of is Cameron. Before I can say anything to this person, he again tells me to look out my window he outside, and I begin hearing noises outside my window. Now, I should mention that my room is right beside my parents' room, and being stupid, my first thought was that this fool was going to wake them up, and I'd never hear the end of it. Let me tell you, that thought soon turned into the last thing I would worry about at night. Anyway, at this point I'm also starting to get creeped out. I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this is Cameron, and Karen did give him my number, how the heck would he know where I live? So I reply to the man, and say Cameron? The man says yes, and tells me to look out my window. I reply telling him to go home and hang up the phone again. Weirded out, I decide I'm going to get up and go into my basement and call Karen, so that hopefully my parents don't hear me talking from my room. This is really important because to get into my basement I have to pass a door that is partially made of glass. So I get downstairs and call Karen, she answers clearly half asleep. I tell Karen about the unknown call, which I'm assuming is from Cameron, and how he is telling me to look out my window because he's outside, and on top of this, that I can hear someone out there. Karen, now clearly awake, tells me she has never given Cameron my number or address, and calls John quickly from her home phone to see if maybe he did. At this point John answers and tells Karen that not only had he never given my information out, he is with Cameron. They tell me if someone's outside I need to hang up and call the police immediately. So I hang the phone up, and before I can even go to dial for anyone, I get another call. Guess WHO. Unknown number. So I stupidly answer again, and before I get a word in, the man tells me that he knows I'm in my basement, he saw me walking by my back door. Now I'm clearly disturbed, as I did just walk by my back door to get downstairs, so I know someone is outside. Again before I could say anything, the man tells me to come outside. So stupidly I tell the person I'm calling the police and hang up the phone. Why I didn't call the police at this point, I really don't know. Probably because I was 16, stupid, and literally in panic mode. Not more than a minute later, I get another call, unknown number. I answer again. The man then tells me to come outside or he's coming inside to get me. Clearly panicking at this point, I have this deep gut feeling that if I go outside, I'm never coming back. However, I do have to go by the door again to get back upstairs, and that was equally terrifying me. So I hang up the phone again and muster up the courage to run upstairs because the last place I wanted to be was in a part of my house no one else was in. I get more calls, unknown number, unknown number, unknown number. Again, my 16-year-old stupidity answers. This time the voice on the phone sounds shook, and says to me that police stopped him outside my house and want to speak to me to make sure I know him. The phone then gets passed off to someone who identifies themselves by name with some title I no longer remember, and asks if I know the man outside my address. He says my house number and street. I quickly tell the voice on the phone I don't have any idea who the person calling me is and hang up the phone. Never got another call again. However, I did sit there all night holding a bat, and had problems sleeping for months. I should also mention I didn't have never many friends at this point in my life. And looking back on this night, I thought maybe this was a prank taken too far. However, I begged the few friends I did have for months to admit that one of them were the person who pulled this off, and to this day they all insist none of them did this. So whatever got this person to stop calling me, thank goodness, and to the unknown caller, let's not meet. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Reddit Ramblings. Have a good day.